Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, a group of young people are in town to lead the climate change strike and summit. The group calls themselves Zero Hour. They're an international youth climate advocacy organization made up of more than 20 students. One of them is its leader, Jamie Margolin. She's 17, and she founded the organization. The event, This is Zero Hour, the Youth Climate Summit, which starts this Friday, July 12th, will feature speeches, panels, and student climate activists talking about some of the most pertinent climate issues of our time: rising seas, hotter temperatures, more flooding, gentrification, stronger hurricanes, and so much more. And Jamie joins us now in studio. Jamie, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And you can find more information, by the way, about the Youth Climate Summit on our social media at WLRN Sundial. Why did you pick Miami to hold the summit?
Because Miami is a frontline community. Miami is at risk of becoming a place that once was. It's at risk of having millions of refugees, climate refugees, who no longer have a home. You know, most of these big climate summits are held in like New York City or DC, and it's this epicenter of like political knowledge. But the communities that are most hit by the climate crisis, like Miami, like other places like New Orleans and places like that, do not have the access to events like this. And so we didn't want to deprive the community of like that kind of knowledge and resources that they need in order to take action on climate. So we decided to bring the summit to them and also make sure that with the summit, we are bringing media attention, focus, and highlighting the organizers here in Miami, Florida, because the people on the front lines of an issue should be the one leading. And Miami is on the front lines, which means that all eyes need to be on Miami.
When did climate change? When did the issue become important to you?
The issue became important to me, honestly, ever since I can remember. I was born in 2001, so there was never a time in my life where this wasn't looming over my life and future. There was never a time in my life where I could plan what I wanted to be when I grew up without the climate crisis looming over, threatening everything. And I know that's even worse for kids here in Miami who see the tides come up on a sunny day.
Right. Is it something that was discussed in the house? Is it something that the family talked about?
My family are not activists or climate science scientists, but it was just, I read a lot about it online. I saw a lot of documentaries about it, and it was talked about a little bit in my school. Where I come from in Seattle, it's pretty well known and talked about.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, in Seattle, how is the issue discussed? Is it discussed a lot like it is here?
Well, with Seattle, it's discussed less direly as it is in Miami, because Seattle is a little bit less at risk. Like in Miami, like this is really ground zero of climate destruction and like the tropical storms and the hurricanes and the sea level rise. Whereas in Seattle, it's more like, it's a little more sheltered and it's a little more subtle, but the talks are definitely about like in emergency mode, because like the ocean is deteriorating in Seattle, the acidification of the ocean, and most of what we get from our profits and just our community is sea-based, like fishing and sea life. So that's being destroyed.
So coming back to this idea, though, that, you know, I mean, for you, your whole life, the issue of climate change has just always been there. But at what point did you decide, I got to do something about it? It's not enough to just think about it and know the risk that's there, but I'm going to step up and I'm going to do something.
So I was 14 years old, and it was after the 2016 election. After that went horribly wrong, I was like, you know what? We have to step up and do something. So I went online, I looked up local environmental organizations, and I called one of the numbers on the website. Someone picked up right away, and I just took it from there, and I just became a full-fledged community organizer in my city from there, and then it just spiraled into this national work with Zero Hour.
And tell us, what is the Zero Hour? How do you describe it to people?
So the Zero Hour movement is first of all, we're called Zero Hour because this is Zero Hour to act on climate change. We have no more time. And when coming up with our branding and our name, we didn't just want it to be another we didn't want people to get the impression of happy-go-lucky kids like, yay, we love the earth. It's really an emergency. It's sounding the alarm. If you go on our website, thisiszerohour.org, you see everything, our imagery, our logo, it's all like red, emergency. It's not your typical green and blue for environmental issues. And that really captures who we are. We're a coalition of young people. So there are 20 main leaders, and there's 25 main leaders staying in the house here in Miami right now. But there are thousands of us all over the country. Like, we have a massive base that we are mobilizing. So we started out with the Youth Climate March in 2018. We organized, that really is what got us started. So we organized the Youth Climate March on July 21st, 2018, in 25 cities around the world, with the main march being in DC. And that's really who we are as a climate mobilization for young people, especially young women of color and young people of marginalized communities. Because what is special about Zero Hour is we acknowledge that the emergency is inexplicably intrinsically tied with all other social justice issues. If you are poor, if you are a person of color, if you are homeless, if you, all of these other social justice issues, you are going to be more affected by the climate crisis, as we see with like climate gentrification here in Miami and the most marginalized communities being hit by the pollution and storms.
So you've had the marches. Is this the first summit you've held?
This is the first summit we've held. So okay. We don't just host actions to host them. They're very purposeful. So back in 2018, this was before like the climate strike movement and before like Extinction Rebellion and all of these like big climate mobilizations. So now youth have got the mobilization down. Like we're seeing big turnout in the streets, like with the Fridays for Future movement. So now that we do what's needed. And so we're like, okay, what is needed? Well, people think that young people, all we can do is riot in the streets and hold up signs and yell that we want climate action. But what about actually going back to our communities and taking that action? So that's where the idea of a summit came. And it's not just any other conference. It's really like, it's going to be an amazing event with training. We built a movement from scratch as kids with nothing just in high school. And so this is going to be, we're passing down that knowledge to the community. And it's not just youth, like it's organized by youth, but all people are welcome of all ages. So we're passing down that knowledge and we're using the summit to like organize and build the movement and take that mobilization and anger into grassroots action.
Let's talk about some of the things that will be going on during the summit.
Yes.
I mean, what kind of things can people expect to see?
Well, people can expect to see really amazing speakers. So Gina McCarthy, the former EPA administrator, is going to be speaking there, and all of the speakers will be very accessible to the people there. So it's not just like you just get to hear from them. It's like if you want to talk to her about her work at the EPA, you can. There's also going to be a lot of young people from the front lines of the climate crisis that I think will be really inspiring to the Miami community. And also like they can, a lot of it is about networking and linking up and making friendships and supporting each other. So like this girl named Mari Copney from Flint, Michigan is coming to like talk about the environmental racism that Flint faces, as well as the founders of the No Dakota Access Pipeline Standing Rock movement are coming, like kids who started this massive movement to stop a pipeline. And so they're on the front lines, you know, these youth from marginalized communities really standing up for themselves, as well as Nathan Phillips, who is the indigenous man who got harassed by a Trump supporter, and his daughter, who are like big, so they're going to be there. So you can learn from all these grassroots leaders, even if you're new to the climate movement, and really interact with the speakers. And they're not just, you know, it's not just looking at a chart that has rising carbon levels is boring. I don't care about a chart with rising carbon levels. That doesn't move people. Stories, human emotions, real life applications, that's what moves people. So if you come to the summit, which by the way, registration is open, it's free for everyone, and it's just like a small donation by your choice. We would appreciate if people donate because we are a nonprofit. So if you go to thisiszerohour.org, you can register. But anyway, you can learn from all of these people, and it's not your typical like boring old like, hey guys, there's carbon in the air. It's human stories.
We're not going to see charts.
You're not going to see charts.
I'm talking with Jamie Margolin, and she's the founder and leader of Zero Hour. That's an international youth climate advocacy organization. And the organization's in Miami for the event. This is Zero Hour, the Youth Climate Summit. It starts Friday, July 12th. And again, as she mentioned, it's going to have speeches, panels, student climate activists. You can find more information about Youth Climate Summit on our social media at WLRN Sundial. Something interesting is you've gotten some big names. You mentioned some people, but you've gotten some big names backing you. And one of the, I have to mention,
yes,
some of the actors from the Avengers
movies. Yes, the Avengers movies are. So some of the actors from like the Marvel like universe have been super supportive. Don Cheadle and Mark Ruffalo especially. Like I'll just be like, Don Cheadle will just be replying to my text, like hitting me up like, yo, how can I help? Like, they are, we have this whole thing going on. They've been really supporting us since the last climate march last year, where they play superheroes on TV and they help real superheroes and the climate movement. So what they did is they actually gave us a $5,000 grant in order to bring these like youth from different frontline communities to the summit. So we have this campaign. It's like Marvel superheroes supporting real life climate superheroes. So like Tokata Iron Eyes, who is one of the kids who started the climate a No Dakota Access Pipeline movement, Daphne Frias, and members of UpRose from the Bronx, who do a lot of organizing there. And like all of these youth who come from different like tribes and marginalized communities who are really heroes on the front lines, putting their bodies on the line, taking action for the climate crisis, who are just really heroes. We run on a really low budget. We're a bunch of high schoolers. We're 100% volunteer-run organization, so there's no steady stream of income. So Don Cheadle and Mark Ruffalo and the Solutions Project, which they're on the board of, decided to help us out by giving us a grant, so we were able to bring those kids to the summit who we weren't otherwise able to bring. So we're really thankful to them, and I guess superheroes got to help each other.
You know, there's something fascinating about this story, is that, as I mentioned, you're 17 years old. You're a high school student.
Yeah, and so is everyone else on the team, and there's like 25 of us.
Yeah, you know, we've seen this over the last couple of years, is this energy, this drive from your generation. We saw it with the Parkland students.
Yes.
After the Parkland shooting, they became extremely involved. They went to Tallahassee, helped change laws, and have been marching in D.C. as well.
Yes.
And I wondered, what is it about this generation that it's not enough to speak? You're very involved.
Yeah. I mean, Generation Z is really inheriting a lot. Like, we're on the cusp. You know, it does something to you when it's the norm. Like, for most adults, you know, stuff like the climate crisis is just kind of like another issue on the list they heard about because they watched An Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore. But Generation Z, we were born into this world. We don't remember a world without climate disaster and impending, like our, what we do doesn't matter because there will be no future to prepare for. And so this, like, we grow up with this very serious cynicism, and not nihilism, but like kind of like, oh, holy crap, like this world is really not cool right now. So I think Generation Z is kind of in because we're a generation growing up in this destruction, and we're a generation that is also more plugged in than ever. So news reaches us faster. So when there's a school shooting, immediately it's on phones, it's on everything. Like, you can see it, and we can, like, you can record things. So it's more, much, a lot more personal takes. Word spreads faster. We're a lot more connected to each other, so we can mobilize a lot. I don't think 0 hour, most of us are all around the country. We wouldn't have been able to mobilize without social media. But part of it is just that we're a generation growing up in a very strange time where we did not, like, I'm under voting age, and so is everyone on the team. A few of us are 18, but most of us are under voting age. And we grew up in a time where we didn't create the systems of oppressions and laws that are holding us down, that are, we find to be complete BS, like the laws that are just allowing more gun violence just for the sake of the NRA, the laws allowing for the destruction of our world and Earth just for the sake of fossil fuel industry profits. Like, we grew up in that. And it's just this attitude of a generation.
I wondered, you know, that's fascinating to see how your generation thinks, but then how do you think your generation will mark success? What do you have to see that you'll be able to say, we did something?
Well, first of all, the success will come with intergenerational movements. So one of my biggest pet peeves is when we go lobbying or talking to politicians and they're like, oh, the kids are going to save the world. And I'm like, please stop putting it on my shoulders. I have to retake the SAT. I got like a bad score. I got to like apply to colleges. Why are you putting it on my shoulders? I'm already doing so much work. We, the 0 hour movement, we are like so many kids, Nadia, Elsa, Madeline, just all of us, we're doing so much work. And you want to give us more? So what's going to happen in order for us to be successful is for leaders to realize that a pat on the head and telling us that you're going to save the world is not going to cut it. I don't want a photo op. I want action. And that's really what needs to happen. So I think that will be success, is when our leaders and corporations really start actually listening to the words coming out of our mouth instead of treating us like a spectacle and taking pictures and being like, isn't this cute? Isn't this cool? You will save the world, which doesn't really mean anything because we're already doing what we can. Our power, we don't have financial power. We don't have the branches, legislature, the executive. All we have is the ability to control the culture. And there's only so much we can take that. So we need to pass the torch.
Briefly, how involved is the 0 hour going to be during next year's election campaign?
So we are a fiscal sponsor. We have a fiscal sponsor who's a 501c3, which means we can't specifically endorse candidates, but we are going to be very involved in that, pushing for a general, like across all candidates, like much stronger action on climate. We support the Green New Deal, and we're really advocating for a climate debate, because what happened here in Miami, where they literally came to a city that is suffering from the effects of the climate crisis, and then just didn't even barely talked about the climate crisis, and then didn't even talk about the specific issues that were affecting Miami at all. Like, that can't happen. So we're advocating for like a climate debate, because that's really what needs to happen for a proper conversation. So we're going to be very active during the 2020 election year. We just can't endorse candidates.
I understand. We here in South Florida kind of scratched our head at just how much time was not given to the issue. Again, talking with Jamie Margolin, she's the founder and leader of Zero Hour, an international youth climate advocacy organization. Her organization's in Miami for this week for the event This is Zero Hour, the Youth Climate Summit. It starts Friday, July 12th. Again, as she said, it's free. Welcome, everybody. More information about that Youth Climate Summit's on our social media, WLRN Sundial. Jamie, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate the insight and good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And again, go to WLRN Sundial to learn more about it. Well, that's our program for this Monday, July 8th. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.